Yeehaw!
When you're riding after rattlesnakes, you gotta be tough. You gotta be rough. You gotta shoot straight. Be on the lookout. The James Gang is back in town, and they're meaner than ever. There's Brother Eli. He stomped down many a snake in his day, and he ain't done yet. His younger brother Dave, quicker than a horned toad, he can hunt down a snake's lie. Then there's Sister Jean. She can whip out a scripture faster than a Colt 45. Wanted, dead or alive, they'll be coming for you. It's the James Gang on GearFolkRadio.com.
Yes, Eli and David talking at you.
All right, folks, here we are, GearFolk Radio. This is one-to-one. This is episode 5. Of heresies, modernist heresies, and boy, are we loaded with modernist heresies. Dave, I think this show can go on forever. There's so many modernist heresies.
Oh, it sure
heresies.
Could.
Yeah.
I remember last week you said to me, be careful what you wish for when I say wanted, dead or alive.
Right.
They'll be coming for you. That's us. We're coming for them, not them coming for us.
I see. Okay.
The James Gang, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
Wanted, dead or alive.
All right, Jews, better beware. The James Gang coming for you. All right.
That brother Eli, he stomped down many a snake in his day, and he ain't done yet.
Yeah.
I love that.
Snake hunters. Yeah, you almost sound like a cowboy.
Well, I look like one, too.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't smell like one, you know, which could be good.
Yeah.
It's probably good, you know.
Well, you just have to move to Texas.
I just get out of the shower, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, just move to Texas for a while. You'll pick up that accent.
Oh, I can do it. You know, the problem is when you cross the British, like say if you went from British to the Texan accent, it'll mess you up for a little while. I don't really even practice my accents. I, you know, mess around here and there, but I'm, you know, sometimes, you know, they can cross, you know, when you're if you don't practice them enough or something.
Yeah. You just, well,
y'all see what I mean?
If you wear a Derby hat, then you do British, right? But hey, listen, we left off last time on, toward the beginning of the article by Arnold Kennedy on heuthesia, meaning adoption. And that has been translated several times falsely in the scriptures. It never does mean adoption. And I'll just, from the very beginning here, I'll just state under the word adoption, Vine states that heuthesia is a composite word consisting of huios, meaning a son, and thesis, placing or setting. Hence, it means the placing of the son or placing of sons in the plural. From Bollinger's comments, adoption equals sonship. All right, so here we have two experts, Vine and Bollinger, whose pedigree as Bible scholars is as high as it gets, right? And both of them say what's really going on here is that this means sonship. It does not mean adoption in the modern sense of the word, okay? And so I'm just going to scoot down here to just above the next section.
Everything's perverted, Eli. Everything's perverted.
I
mean, words today are just perversions of what they meant all through time, practically. You know what I mean? The Jews have taken these words, all kinds of words, and used them to demonize people, to color anything they can do with these words, they shape society with a few words.
Yeah. Well, male equals female, white equals black, red equals blue. I mean, all distinctions of any sort of kind have been illegalized. They're becoming illegal They've been eliminated from the discourse in colleges, universities, high schools, and grade schools, and almost politics as well. But in the real world, where cops are cops and thugs are thugs, all right, the thugs know the difference between themselves and the cops know the difference between themselves and the thugs. And any attempt by the universities, and of course we're talking about Jew-controlled universities, to impose this for any length of time is doomed to fail, and it will fail, because it's only kept in place by their failing economy.
Well, here's what's happening. You can only go so low till you hit the bottom.
Yeah, right.
This is just something I just got right now, right? So we're really hitting the bottom. I mean, I think we could probably go a little lower. We got to wait until the Jews make sure that, you know, having sex with young children is legal and an everyday thing in society.
Oh, it is in California now.
I don't know what they got after that. But once you hit the bottom, you can only rise from there.
Yeah,
it's just like once you hit the top, there's only one way you can go from there is down.
Right. Well, I think the bottom's going to actually fall out on them. And then once the bottom falls out, there's no coming back out, right? It's over. We're getting to that point where it's just about over for these Edomites, just as the Bible has predicted. But
this is newspeak, by the way. What you're speaking of is, you know, these things like we had to read that in school, which is amazing to me. 1984, George Orwell's 1984. And see, that was a bad thing for them to do, to have us read that, because I suggest each and every one of you read that today, because you'll understand that perpetual war goes on in it, that newspeak goes on in it, which means it's newspeak means that you begin to reduce the amount of words in the English lexicon, let's say, or in the dictionaries, until you, like a word like freedom, wouldn't be there. And pretty soon you wouldn't know how to describe what freedom was. Yeah. And, you know, the less and less words, each new volume of the dictionary, instead of expanding like it should and has always, it will retract, right or wrong. This is what goes on in that book.
Well, newspeak is political correctness. Political correctness is newspeak. It's happening. Orwell predicted this would happen. Newspeak is forbidden speech. In other words, truth is not allowed to be spoken. Anything contrary to the Jewish agenda, in fact, the word Jew itself is not a polite word. You're never supposed to speak that, unless you're in praise and bow down to and genuflect to a Jew. You're not supposed to use that word. I can't tell you
how
many
times.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because Goebbels said himself, when I read that thing, the Jew, he said, you can call the Jew a reprobate, you can call him a scumbag, or, you know, I'm just using different terms. You can call him a thief, you can call him a murderer, you can call him anything. And that just rolls right off him like rain off of raincoat.
Yeah.
But the one thing he recoils at, the one thing he does not want to be called is, guess what? A Jew.
Right.
That's why the word Jew is, see, they don't even want to be called a Jew. Here we have people calling Yahweh a Jew and calling Yeshua, who is Yahweh in the flesh, a Jew, and they don't realize what that is, an abomination. Yahweh is offended by that, seriously offended.
So are
if
we.
You think the Jew is offended by being called a Jew,
well,
what
Jew
do you think
want to,
Yahweh is?
He just doesn't want to be called out, because the Jew as a parasite and as a chameleon always wants to be hidden under the rock in the background, in the side rooms, in the back rooms, you know, and spying on us. He doesn't want to, he wants to be unnoticed. He wants to be, a fly on the wall. Okay. So whenever you point out the Jew and what the Jew is really doing, you're drawing attention to it, and it doesn't like that. Okay. Just like the Federal Reserve. I just saw a great picture of the four last Federal Reserve chairman, four of them. Every last one was a Jew.
Yet of course. And even Baruch, Bernard Baruch, whatever his name is, Baruch.
Yeah, Bernard Baruch.
Yeah, Bernard Baruch. I mean, that was back in, I mean, doesn't that stretch
the
like the last 100 years maybe? All the way back to Woodrow Wilson, the last four?
Exactly. Well, no, not that far, but into the 70s, I think.
Well, Baruch was there too, so that he was.
Yeah, in the 30s,
right, Bernard Baruch. You know that name.
Yeah, and So we see surely the Jew wants to be anonymous because they don't want to be blamed for everything that's going on, and while they're blaming the white man for everything that's going on. Okay, so that's why they don't want to be pointed out. But that is the name, nevertheless, which by which they identify. And they really have never identified by the name of Israel until very recently in history. You may recall that when the Samuel Untermeyer declared war against Hitler's Germany, the headline in the newspaper he held up said, "Judea declares war on Germany." See, they hadn't taken that name yet even then. It wasn't only it was a last-minute decision to name Judea Israel just before it was created in 1945, I think it was, 46, whatever year it was. Maybe it's
48 is when it came into fruition.
Yeah, and guess who? That Jew-American president? It was the first one. He ran to get to the front of the line. Harry Solomon, the Jew Truman, ran to the front of the line after taking a $2 million cash bribe from B'nai B'rith to recognize that phony state.
But right? He crossed it out at the last minute. Even though he was a Jew and a Freemason as well. But let me tell you how the Jew wanted to trained us to hide them. Think about this. You've been taught since you were a child, even probably since you were a child too, that you shouldn't pay attention to anyone's race,
right,
color, creed, or anything, right? In other words, that enables the Jew to hide. In other words, the only reason you find out that it's the Jews eventually is because somebody tells you, stop paying attention to the names and the people who are doing these things. Now that's why they change their names to hide too. But you can see that they are them. So once you're honed in to the Judar and you stop this, what you've been trained, like, don't think about their race, don't think about their color, don't think about their creed, all of a sudden the Jew comes out of the woodwork. It can't help but come out. That's why they trained us from childhood to think that way. Think about what I'm saying. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, and were you trained to be that way? Were you trained to think that way?
Well, not me, because my mother hated Jews, and I've been Jew savvy since I came out of the womb. Right? So I've never had that problem.
Okay, well, I didn't even really know what a Jew was or cared about it. Right? You know what I mean? And that's how most children are.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, what you're saying is multiculturalism is the, and many Jews have actually come out and said this, that multiculturalism is the perfect environment for Jews where they can hide the best, right? Jews cannot thrive in a single ethnic state, like in a white country, because they're too easily recognized in a purely white country. As they were originally in America when they first started coming over here in droves, the white Americans said, "We don't want these people. Who's allowing these people in? Get them out of here," right?
Yes.
So they need to multiculturalize a country in order to hide better, because they do their best work in the dark, in the back rooms, in secret. Okay. And go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say,
but it also provides them a way to hide in another way. They have these other people that you start looking at them and you stop focusing on the Jew. And they use these people, these beasts of the field, these sub-races, as a weapon against the indigenous population. So they bring these people in to use them as – they're like beasts of the field. They're animals. And they're used as a weapon against us.
Yes.
Oh, and it's like a barrier for the Jew. If they're here naked with us, it's just Jew and us, there's nobody to defend them if a pogrom comes along.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
But so, go on. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But as long as they can hide, just like a snake or a rat or vermin, you know, or insects, then they're more comfortable. See, they admit this. They thrive better in a multicultural environment where they can kind of blend in and they're not as recognizable. Because, for example, in a Nordic country where you have blonde-haired, blue-eyed, straight-nosed people with straight teeth and thin lips, a Jew stands out.
And no lisping.
Right, exactly. So this is why they must multiculturalize every nation so that they can blend in and get and do their subversion more efficiently. That's
well, I'd rather they just do this for us, okay? I'd rather they get out of our country, mm-hmm. go over there to their little fake country that they're trying to get a hold of that they never will get a hold of.
Yeah, the Valley of Armageddon.
Do you see that? Do you see that Yahweh's hand is in that?
Oh, yeah.
That what I say, when I tell you 69 years, they still haven't had that nation. They are trying at this. They know what we're saying, right? And this should be said all over the world, what I'm saying. They haven't been able to acquire that nation in 69 years. This proves that Yahweh, when he judged those people, I know I'm saying something I've said before, he told them they would be vagabonds and wanderers. They don't have our nation. They might have a stranglehold on our nation, but it's not their nation. And the only nation that they could claim that they seem to try to claim is that one over there, but they're only occupying a portion of it. Guess what the UN just said? I keep saying this over and over, right? You've heard me. Now, the UN just said that they're only occupying that nation. Uh-huh. And now Netanyahu's going crazy. So the more they try to – what they're doing is they're trying to steal some more territory and occupy a little more territory and bulldoze down some more homes.
Right.
And so thus they're moving closer. But the more they try to move closer to getting that whole nation – the hotter it's getting and the worse it's getting on them. The more blood is being spilled and the more they're being exposed, which tells me that Yahweh, when he says you're not going to have a nation, believe me, mm-hmm. you're not going to have it.
He's not there. And there's no light at the end of that tunnel. they're not going to have a nation. They're not going to. And I don't know if you heard us talking last night about the Eretz Israel and the Jews claiming that territory between the Tigris-Euphrates down to the Nile River. And it's very clear that only we, true Israelites of the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian people, have ever occupied that entire territory from one end to the other. And that territory still belongs to us. It was given away to the Jews fraudulently by the British Empire. It had no right to give it away. And it was actually claimed by the British Empire when General Allenby defeated the Turks and threw the Turks out of Palestine, and it was claimed on behalf of Israel, not on behalf of the Jews, but on behalf of us. So just because Britain reneged on the deal and gave it to the Jews, that's not our fault. It still belongs to us. That was given away illegally. Yeah.
But guess what? You know what's so interesting to me about it? As I'm reading about Jacob Schiff in his book saying – talking about Turkey as being a sick man back in that time, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, they stole all the wealth of Turkey. So they said they needed another sick man. I don't know if you remember me reading this. This is out of a book that Jacob Schiff wrote. You know who Jacob Schiff is. He's the one that financed the revolution over in the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah. And he sent the $20 million to that ship out there where I think it was Trotsky or Lenin, one or the other, were going to the Bolshevik Revolution. And so what happens is he said, we need another sick man.
Right.
And he was referring to, you know, of course, the Tsar had the most money in the world.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But so that's what he was referring to. But what's amazing about that whole scenario is even though they sucked Turkey dry, they got all the railroads, they got all the ports, they got everything, sucked the gold, everything out of them.
Right.
They weren't able to get that land. See, Turkey's the one, you know, the Ottoman Empire is the one that had Palestine. So they somehow they weren't able to get it then. Yahweh wouldn't let them have it then.
Right. And
so
the
now they had to work through England to try to get that through the Balfour Declaration.
That's right, to steal Palestine. But the Germans had built all those railroads, right? So everything the Germans had built was simply stolen by the Rothschilds, and they took it over. It wasn't Britain that took it over. It was the Rothschilds that took it over. All right.
Yes, because those were some serious trade routes that he wanted.
Yes, exactly.
And it was disturbing his his business.
Germany.
That was all
just
part of it. Remember, they went in and they told those people. You know what's funny is I just saw a thing about Ursula Haverbeck, and she's talking about how they claim that the Germans cut off the hands of the Belgian children in World War One. Okay, now let's stop right there for a second. Think about it. Where did we hear about hands being cut off? See, here they are saying, now you know that in, before I go and tell you, you know that in the, they claimed that the Germans were throwing babies from bayonet to bayonet.
Right.
You know that was happening in Russia. The Jews were doing that.
The Bolsheviks,
okay?
Yeah, the Bolsheviks.
Now, who cut the hands off again? Now, they said that the Germans, they used the press to demonize the Germans and say that they cut off the hands of the Belgian children, which is the most ridiculous thing anyway. The Belgian people were with Germany. Why would you do that? But who did cut off the hands? Turkey. This is the Young Turks. They went in there and they said, we believe you have terrorists among you, and all we want you to do, now pay attention, America, all we believe you have terrorists among you. This is back then, 100 years, 100 years ago. And then they said, all we want you to do is give up your guns and we can all live in peace. And so the people gave up their guns very stupidly, and then they killed 1.5 million of them. Can you see the parallel of today, ladies and gentlemen? They want to give you to give up your guns so we can all live in peace. This peace that has been told to us over and over again and promised to us by these Jews. Of course, I never believed it, but you did.
Right.
But and the problem is that there will be no peace with any Jew in your land. So as soon as they get the guns from you, what do you think they're going to do to you? So after they killed those 1.5 million people, they cut their hands off and they were strewn about the roads.
Right. Those people were not
Turks.
They're
the ones that cut the hands off.
Right. It was the Jews that did it to the Armenians. That was the Armenian genocide. Yes. It was not Turks. The Armenians were
a subcategory. Well, Young Turks. I'm saying Young Turks. I'm sorry.
Well, no. Well, the Young Turks was the name that the Jews took upon themselves to pretend to be Turks, right? But they're the ones who instigated in the name of Turkey, and actually really in the name of Freemasonry, to instigate the Armenian genocide. Again, it was the Jews that did that.
Masonry is the one that was the tool that was used in this, is like just like it was in the Russian Revolution, just like it was in the American Revolution, just like it was in the French Revolution. Yeah. Right. And that was just admitted to. I just read that on my show, was an amazing thing. It was a thing from Arnold Liess. I read it on my this week's news.
Yeah.
Arnold Liess exposed that the fact that Freemasonry was the tool they used, which they always use it.
Yeah, it was
Freemasons. They always use it to destroy and subvert a nation.
It was Freemasons who executed the Archduke. It was a branch of Freemasonry. Okay, so here, and of course, Freemasonry is nothing but a tool of the Jews. So it's an ongoing warfare that white people, especially white people, need to understand that the Jews have been making proxy war against all of our people, especially since 1815. As we have pointed out many times, that's when Napoleon started to release the Jews from the ghettos, and the prophecy that Isaac issued to Esau that he would have the dominion over his brother Jacob. And in the book of Revelation, it says for a little season, and namely from 1815 until the judgment day, the Jews would rule over Jacob, over us. Okay? It's obvious.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It wasn't somebody's trying to say that it was only the time of Jacob trouble is only 40 years. You can certainly see that it's lasting a lot longer than 40 years.
Oh, sure.
But is that a biblical prophecy or am I messed up?
No, that's just a total guess. I don't know where to get the 40 years from. There's nothing that suggests 40 years. That's probably somebody who believes that the Israeli state, there's been all kinds of 40-year prophecies saying that since 1948, when the Israeli state was created, somebody predicted that Jesus Christ would come in 1988 because it was 40 years later. That's just a phony, it's a totally false method of prophesying or interpreting prophecy. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's obviously 200 years already.
Okay. Yeah, well, at least. But what another 40-year period I'll tell you about was from the mystery of the serpent. Mm-hmm. They believed if they brought those three things in 1913, which is the IRS Act, the Federal Reserve Act, and the ADL, that within 40 years in 1953, that the New World Order was going to come in.
Yeah. That's why there was such a rush for the atom bomb, too. No, the atom bomb came before. It was, what was the other bomb? Not the atom bomb.
Hydrogen?
The hydrogen bomb came in 1953, and his Jew doctor murdered Stalin in 1953. That's all that happened in 1953. Yeah, nothing else of significance happened then, okay? Although that was also
what year did China become communist? I'm trying to figure
that was actually during World War II, because the State Department and communist generals such as Vinegar Joe Stilwell and General George Catlett Marshall, who were agents of the Rothschilds, subverted Chiang Kai-shek and were actually giving money and supplies to Chinese communist leader. Can't think of his name right now.
You're right. I'm surprised you knew about George Marshall, because the only reason I knew about it was because McCarthy wrote a book about him.
Right. America's Retreat from Victory. Yeah, that's one of the greatest books everybody should read. America's Retreat. And that's why Joe McCarthy was murdered, as well as many other people who have spoken out against the Jews and died for it. Okay, that's why you shouldn't use that word Jew. to come back.
Why do they hate that? Why do you think that is, that you can call them any name in the book and they don't care about it? But if you call them what they are,
right,
they're angry. Well, why do they get angry being called a Jew? What do you think? I'm just asking a serious question.
Well, it's because when somebody mentions the Jew in all seriousness, that means he's telling the truth about him, and they hate that, right? So, but they've already got, how should I put it, they've got snappy answers to every accusation that most right-wingers can make. But they don't have any snappy answers to the statements that we Identians tell about them and make about them. No, they run from us. They absolutely run from us.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you know, we are the legitimate sons.
Yes.
They know, you know what I mean? So it's, in other words, the legitimate sons know better than anybody else who the legitimate sons are.
Exactly. Hey, that was a great segue. That was a fantastic segue.
Go ahead.
All right. So Arnold Kennedy on page one here, and this is adoption. What does adoption really mean? I'm going to scroll down to the near bottom of page one. The word heuthesia is never used to mean make anyone a son, and it's never used to mean adopt either. It is to place a son. Each son who is placed already exists as a son. The Greek does not suggest making anyone a son, or some lexicons point this out. Strong's G, Greek 5206, also gives the placing of a son. So it says, in other words, Strong's Concordance means a placing of a son. So why do they have the word adoption, where placing, or in actually it means the inheritance, coming of age to receive the inheritance of Israel, is really what the verse means. Anyway, following this up in Thayer, we find, quote, that relationship which God was pleased to establish between himself and the Israelites, in preference to all other nations, that blessed state looked for in the future life after the visible return of Christ from heaven. So even Thayer understands that it's only about Israelites, not about non-Israelites being adopted. So why does the King James have this word adoption, which absolutely fools everybody?
That's the purpose of these words are... These words are used as weapons, okay?
That's
now,
right.
When you think of adoption of a son, you can even think of the grafting in of the branch. It's the same thing.
That's right.
But you can't graft a branch from something else into – it has to be of the same tree. It has to be of the same kind after kind, so to speak. So you can't take a black man and put him on a white tree. It just doesn't – it's not going to work. It's just going to kill the tree.
Sort of stand out.
You can't put
a Jew
on a branch of a white tree right. And expect that it's going to give forth any good fruit.
Hey, I've got my flamethrower ready for if that happens.
Okay. Well, that's what they're suggesting happens, and we've already discussed
right.
that.
Yes.
This same thing with adoption is the same thing. They're trying to say that you can adopt a Chinaman into Israel.
And they become Israelites.
You can't do that. It's the
right.
same thing as the tree.
It's there.
You can't put mixed darkness with light.
That's
like
right.
Wesley Swift was talking. I was listening last night, and Wesley Swift said that all the races have a different vibration. And I have to say that's as true. And we have this light. He talked about the Shekinah and everything. This particular one I listened to last night, it was one of the ones I just put up on my channel, okay, which is kind of unique because we just talked about this.
Right.
And basically, he said that we are the light of the world, that we don't belong with the other races, and it all makes sense. You can't mix darkness with light. It just doesn't go together.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the light makes the darkness flee.
Amen. It overpowers darkness if it's bright enough, right? But there's not enough truth in this world yet to overcome the darkness that is Judaism.
Remember that the disciples turned the world upside down? So the world was already in this condition before. Look at it as a cycle. And it goes up. There's a line that goes straight across. And you go all the way. There's a cycle that circular goes up all the way to the top. Then it comes back, crosses the line, goes down like a roller coaster, so to speak. Then it comes back up, goes back over the line, up. I think they call it a pulse type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, the disciples, we were already in the downward pulse, and when Christ came and he turned the thing around so that we were on the positive side of the pulse. They turned the world upside down, shook all the pagan religion, shook the devil and his kingdom, shook it all. Now what happens is time goes by, and now these people have now turned the world upside down. You agree. We all agree that the world is upside down, that good is bad, bad is good, right, and all those type of things. We're in the bottom cycle again. So what I meant about hitting the bottom, once you hit the bottom, there's only one way you can go. And we must be just about hitting the bottom. And the Jews are starting to be recognized worldwide. I mean, there's shots being fired at them. I mean, word shots being fired at them from every corner of the earth, every angle of the earth. And what it means is sooner or later, the world will turn upside down again and we'll get things back towards the right way.
And that's why trying to outlaw anti-Semitic speech, so-called. Right? Yeah, they hate being called out. They absolutely hate it. Well, here, let me just, I'm just going to quote the remaining verses without much discussion because this word adoption has been routinely mistranslated. And Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of placement, which is the best word, the single best word, or inheritance. Because what Paul is talking about is you've come of age, the Messiah has come to redeem you of your sins. Now you are a son, a full-fledged son, because you have been redeemed. Okay? Therefore, a full-fledged heir. But you have received the spirit of placement whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the we and the us are all Adelphos of the same womb. Israel cannot be any other people. Okay? Romans 8:22-23, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about Pentecost. Even we ourselves, we Israelites ourselves, groan within ourselves. Boy, are we groaning. Oh, man, we're groaning. Oh. Waiting for the placement, to wit, the redemption of our body, which means we receive our glorified body. Doesn't this all make sense when you understand who Israel is? And how?
Well, of course it does.
Yeah.
You notice how you were talking about suicide on your news show.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is at this point, men are seeking death and finding it. But when the time comes when we hit the bottom again, men will seek death but will not be able to find it at that point.
Right. Yeah.
So men are seeking death right now. That's how they feel about the world. The world is not worth living in. Why would you want to live here? What the hell good is this? What are you working your whole life for? You can't even own the home or the land you own, you supposedly own. I mean, what good? You can't put your money in a bank because you can't trust a bank.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying this is why men are finding death right now. They're committing suicide.
Especially white men. White men are committing suicide in massive numbers. It's the largest demographic of white deaths of men, white men. Even bigger, I forget what the quote was. I think it was automobile accidents and certainly soldiers. more soldiers
committing
suicide than dying on the battlefield.
Imagine if you destroyed all those people's lives.
Yeah.
Imagine if you went in there and killed women and children and babies and did all those things.
Yeah.
Our race is not like that. It's not the kind of people that can do those things and live with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just have to realize that this is all proof. What you're seeing is all proof that Yahweh is right. Mm-hmm. And we are wrong.
Amen.
And these Jews are specifically putting us in this position because they knew we would be judged by Yahweh. They knew. We'll speak about this a little later, but you see, this is part of the judgment when you obey, when you go to war and you pretend that these people are not going to war to protect your rights or protect your freedom. There is nothing here. There's no freedom here to protect.
And of course,
you know, that's a lie. It's a pure lie.
And David, it's even worse because what's happening, and we'll talk about this later, Sweden and Norway have become the rape fest of the Muslim world. And because the white men of Sweden and Norway have been so emasculated, effeminized, and socialized, they don't understand that it's a race war and that they need to protect their women. They don't even understand that they're supposed to protect their women.
Right, and this is something that Hitler talked about that I'm going to reveal on my show.
Okay.
There's a movie, if any of you are going to listen to my show Monday, I've already asked Pastor Steve to listen to watch this movie. It's called Triumph of the Will.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what this whole thing is about.
Okay.
They say it's a propaganda film. But this is going to – no, it's not a propaganda film at all. I ask you to view it. I hope you'll do it.
Sure.
If you can. It's a great – Triumph of the Will. It's a movie about World War II Germany, and it has English subtitles, and it is just totally awesome. All I can say is it's totally awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, there's five more.
But, this proves that Yahweh is right. The nations – what's happening now is you're seeing the judgment of Yahweh on the house of Israel first.
Yes.
You're noticing what's going on. And I'll tell you that when we talk about the black on white or the Muslim crime, what I see in that all the time. But anyway, what I'm saying is Yahweh is proven to be right, that if you have – these people in your nation, if you let Jews in your nation, if you become passive and fat, dumb, and happy, this is what happens. See, this is not Yahweh's will for us. We are way out of the will of Yahweh in our nations. And so he's judging us and showing us this is what happens. This is what happens when you disobey me. This is how your life is going to be. This is how you're going to live. You're going to be so miserable in your nations that even your own women will be disgusted looking at you. The men will be disgusted looking at the women.
Yeah.
And you will want to die.
That's right.
Think about what I'm saying.
Well, the liberals are committing suicide. The liberals are committing suicide. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
This is what happens when you disobey Yahweh. Yeah. You end up living like this, and it's a pure hell. When you're separated from the ever-living God and you are his offspring, there's a problem between. There's a gap between you and your father. So that causes this big problem for you, and it causes a problem for the father. But when he begins to judge you, you begin to you have to see it for what it is. He's showing you that he was right all along.
Right.
He warned you not to let these things happen.
Well, it's interesting you should say stand in, because where that verse says the Antichrist, actually the Antichrist means to take the place of, not necessarily to be against. Okay, and so who's the stand-in? Who's standing between us and Yahshua?
The Jews.
Yeah, the Jews.
Can I say one thing about that while you mentioned it? I'm sorry. This is a point I thought of that I wanted to mention, though.
Uh-huh.
What's so funny to me is everybody thinks this Antichrist is going to show up, and he's going to cause everybody to have a mark on his hand and you know, all that stuff, right?
Right.
But see, the Antichrist is the Jew that is going to cause you to have this chip in your hand. The Antichrist is these Jews.
Exactly.
It's not a man. It's a people. And everybody else that doesn't believe in Christ is also part of the Antichrist, if they're not Jews even. So, but the Jew, the Antichrist, who was already with us, according to the Apostle John,
Yes.
Is going to cause all men to have, they're in control of the money situation. So if you can't buy, sell, or hold a job, well, they already own the corporations, don't they? And if you don't toe the line, you won't be able to keep your job, right? Yes. If you say something against them, they kick you out of your job.
Exactly.
So you can't make money. Yeah. I mean, the Antichrist isn't a man necessarily. It's a whole bunch of people.
It's the spirit of the Jews. That's what it is. It's their leader, Satan. That's the Antichrist. But that's going to be the theme of Bloodlines tomorrow. We just touched on it last week, 1 John 2:22. That anybody, he says, first of all, there are many Antichrists already in the world today, and the Antichrist is already with us. Okay? So who could that be? We're obviously talking about the Pharisaic Jews.
Yes, and the thing is these people are waiting for some man to come and put the chip in you. They already legislated that the chip would be in you in 2017, ladies and gentlemen.
Barack Obama.
There is no, Barack Obama. Okay, so they can say he's the Antichrist. Well, he was put in place by the Jew.
Amen.
In other words, they would have, if they wanted to kill you, they wouldn't kill you themselves. They're cowards.
That's right.
They'd pay a Negro to kill you. Like
they always have stand-ins. They always have stand-ins to do the job, right?
Yes, they're not going to do that dirty work.
Right? No.
They just pay for it to be done.
They don't want to be identified. They don't want a Jew doctor with a big old nooked nose and crooked lips and fat lips and receding forehead coming in and injecting that. No, they have to have a nice, polite-looking Anglo-Saxon nurse to do it for you, or a Filipino nurse.
And they're forcing these nurses to do this. This nurse just came on. And she said she was in her car and she was doing an interview. And she said that the whole hospital, they took everybody in the office and they said, you have to get this thing or you'll lose your job.
Right.
And that'll be it. Right. Uh-huh. So they've got like I said, these Jews get everybody to do everything in this world by consent.
Yes.
If the people said no, and she said it herself, if everybody in that hospital said no,
it wouldn't happen.
That would put the hospital out of business.
They would say,
forget it. Don't worry about it.
They need to go on strike and then put the hospital on notice that if you ever try to do this to us again, we will go on strike again. Okay,
lying to the girl. They're saying, no, everybody's going to do it. In other words, peer pressure.
Of course they're lying.
Everybody's going to jump off the cliff. Yeah. All the sheep are going to jump off the cliff. You just jump with them and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I think this injection thing is about? I'll bet you that they're injecting the white people with something so we can't procreate no matter what we do.
Oh, make us stupid, too. Right?
Well, beyond that,
it's going to have mercury. You know it's going to have mercury. And that nurse was talking about all the poisons they put in vaccinations. So it wasn't just about the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about the mark of the beast. It was all the poisons they put in vaccinations, too. She's aware of all this stuff. It says, no way I'm getting vaccinated. No way. Okay? Which is what every one of us should say. Okay? That would make it very difficult for the Jew to... And remember, David, they tried to do this 3 or 4 times already. How many times in the last 6, 7 years have they said, okay, everybody...
They don't stop, though.
No,
they don't. They always keep... One thing you got to say about them is they're persistent.
Oh, man.
And just like this bill that didn't go through about shutting up the students, because that's just a stepping stone. If they can pass that bill, the next bill is for the rest of the nation.
Yeah. Well, by the time...
But notice how the Senate, unanimous, which is telling you something. I've said this on my show.
Oh, yeah.
It's telling you that the whole Senate is willing to go against the Constitution. They've sworn an oath. Now, you know that they're going to pay the price from Yahweh, right? Because he told you not to swear on anything on heaven and earth or anything, right?
Exactly.
They swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and they voted against they voted for this specific thing where the people in the universities cannot ever say anything or criticize the Jews.
Right.
It passed unanimously.
Exactly.
So they figure what they say they're going to do is they're going to try it again in 2017 here.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good. All right. There's about 5 more pericopes here. And it's interesting that these verses dovetail with current news subject, but Romans 9:3-4. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. For who? David? For brethren. everybody in the world?
No, for whosoever should come, Mr. Tex Mott.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Oh, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Who could that be? Eskimos? Africans? Asians?
No.
But he clarifies, who are Israelites? Oh, my goodness. It's not universalistic at all. Are you listening, Tex? Are you listening? To whom pertaineth?
No, he's not listening.
No, he's not. To whom pertaineth the placement and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? You can't make a more exclusive statement than this, Brother David. You just can't.
No, and basically the thing is, you know, I often find that, you know, when I think of things in times past before I was fully awake, and I'm probably, you know, we think we're awake, but, you know, Yahweh's the one who's all the way awake. Sure. But you can just read sentences and not even decipher what you're reading. In the past, I would think, you know what I mean? That, you know, you know, just because you're reading doesn't mean you're awake. You have to be able to perceive what you're saying, what you're reading, and be able to translate it so that you understand it. Many people can read, anybody can read a book. That doesn't mean they understood the contents within.
Well, if you don't know the meanings of the actual words, which is the point that we're getting at here, that euthesia does not mean adoption. It means placing of a son, by inference, inheritance of a son. And, of course, that includes daughters, too, sons and daughters. So if you make the mistake of believing that the word adoption is a correct translation of euthesia, then you cannot possibly understand what Paul is saying. And this is why Paul gets such a bad rap from the Paul bashers who think he's a universalist. No. Paul did not use the word adoption.
But they can't read it any more than the Judeo-Christian can.
That's right.
The bashers. See, they wouldn't be bashing him if they could understand.
Exactly. Well, that's why we're here. We're here to explain to them what Paul really said. Okay? Now, Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law. Who's under the law?
And who's just Israelites are under the law.
There you go. That we might receive the placement of sons. Okay? It's very simple when you understand what Paul really says. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us into the placement of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the pleasure of his will.
Right. And his ministry, you must realize again, that his ministry wasn't to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, even though these are sheep and they're lost. These are the ones that need to be grafted in. These are the ones like that were worshiping, like the Greeks who were worshiping false gods and pagan ideas and all this stuff. They're our brothers, but they needed to be grafted in. They are the adopted sons. It's the same as grafting that branch in. You know what I mean? It just makes sense to me. I don't know what you think about that. Am I making sense or no?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, if you mistake the word adoption, which in English, in common English, means often adopting children of another race, okay? And if you think that's what Paul is saying, then you are totally oblivious to real scripture. Totally oblivious to real scripture. And that's why this verse and this word adoption, has absolutely no business being in the Holy Scriptures. And that's why.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. Who is he speaking to again? That's the main thing. Yeah. He's not speaking to people today who are sitting in a church. In John Hagee's church Texas or something.
Definitely not his church.
He's speaking to the Romans.
Yes, who were Israelites.
Yes, who were, as he said, kind of paganized Israelites. And so
some of them were still pagans.
Paul was sent to these specific people. He's not talking to John Hagee's church here.
No, he's not.
He's talking to the Romans of those days.
And John Hagee can't even hear what he has to say, right? Because he's a Jew-loving, kike-loving.
John Hagee says the Jews don't need to be saved. They're already saved.
Right, exactly. So he denies everything Paul says.
And he denies Christ by saying
that. He denies Christ
also. He said they don't need to be saved because they're already saved.
They have their own path to salvation is what he says. He's just a lying, stinking, Jew-loving, kike pulpit bastard. That's what he is, all right? Okay, so under the subject of all races can be saved, which is another modernistic lie, I'd like to, us to, I just put the link in the chat box for you here. Western Voices World News, and the title of the article is F White People. It's about the brutal torture of a handicapped white guy in Chicago on Thursday. And there's more stuff that's happened. We just had another shooting in Florida where, again, it was a non-white. In this case, it was a Mexican/Arab, not sure what race it was, but shot up a lot of people in Florida. Okay. So it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And David, these Judeos who teach that race mixing is good, they're going to have to answer to Yahweh just as difficult a manner as the Jews, because they are, what's the word, facilitating. They are facilitating the rape, murder, and bludgeoning, and robbery, and beating of white people because they are teaching this rubbish.
Well, may I speak on this for a moment? In my experience with black-on-white crime, I'm going to reveal something to you that may be of a surprise to you. I'm not trying to let these blacks or Muslims off the hook. What I'm doing is, Yahweh said that he'd bring animals into your nation to judge you. And I'm going to tell you that a good percentage of the black-on-white crime is a black man killing his white girlfriend and the offspring, which is a hybrid.
Yeah.
And you'll also see that many of these liberal women, they'll go over to Africa and they'll say, I'm going to defend them. They'll kill and rape them and kill them.
Exactly.
You're noticing that a lot of these people, I'm not saying that every white person that's being killed by these people or done wrong by these white people are somebody that's done that. But I have to say, we don't know when we see these news stories. It could be 100% of them. You don't know. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is when I see a black guy kill his white wife and his offspring, that this is Yahweh judging the whole situation.
Well, that's right.
woman is a race mixer. She should be killed. And if Whitey won't kill her, Yahweh will have somebody kill her.
Well, doesn't the Old Testament place the death sentence on any woman who lies with a beast?
Yes. And therefore, why not use the beast to kill the perpetrator? I mean, the victim, whatever you want to call it.
Since we are powerless at the moment to execute judgment, so Yahweh is taking matters into his own hands, right? Very good.
So you have women that are being raped, but you don't know if these women, sometimes I hear the case that these women are women that welcomed the refugees in.
Yes.
Or that hate their feminists or whatever. Yeah. You don't know when you see these women that are being raped. See, I'm going to tell you there's a dual purpose for it. Not only is there Yahweh's purpose for it, but there's the devil's purpose for it. The devil's purpose for it is they want you to see these, you know, they don't really show the black on white crime or the Muslim crime, but the people that do see it and the people that see it in their nations firsthand. What this is doing is this is creating the Muslim-Christian war.
That's right.
They're going to keep doing this until Whitey says, let's kill these people. That's it.
They're
going to push us like an animal is prodded, and they're going to keep – this is the Jewish purpose of the whole thing. They, Albert Pike, as you know, wanted to have a Muslim-Christian war for World War III. And since they couldn't make this war happen, they had to bring the war to our nation's themselves. Mm-hmm. They've even brought the guns for these people while they've made us gunless. Us in America. But there's always a purpose that Yahweh has going on. So, yes, in the process, some of these people, these race mixers, these liberals, these, I remember a girl who brought this Negro into and let him live in the apartment with her. He took her, he raped and killed her.
Yeah.
I mean, right. And this story goes on and on. Well, there you go.
Right.
You wanted to harbor the enemy. What do you think's going to happen to you, idiot?
Right.
Should I feel sorry for her? Should I be angry about it? No, she's an idiot.
Well, it reminds me, first of all, Admiral Yamamoto warned the Japanese government not to attack Pearl Harbor because he said, you will be awakening a sleeping giant. Okay. Now, that's not true of Europe, although it may eventually become true of Europe. But because Europe has been so socialized and communized and anti-Christianized that most whites in Europe are no longer, you know, and they don't know what constitution means. They don't have a word, constitution. So they've just been following, in the wake of World War II, all of this Jewish propaganda, which is nothing but socialism. But then he also said, quote, you cannot invade mainland United States. There would be a rifle behind each blade of grass. Okay. So, folks, do not give up your guns. Do not give up your guns. Yamamoto was a very wise man. He tried to warn. Yeah, go ahead.
No, finish. He tried to warn.
Well, yeah, he tried to warn his government that it would be a horrible idea to invade Pearl Harbor. They should try something else. Okay.
See, the same thing's happening to the Jews.
The same thing's going to happen to the Jews. They're eventually going to run into the American Patriot. Go ahead.
I hope so.
Yeah.
We're very patient people like our father is.
That's right.
But here's the difference between this is one thing. See, if they wanted to start a war, they've already started the war, and they went over there and they cleaned out those countries. And now you got to realize that the Middle East is being cleaned out of its people. It's not like Africa, who has almost one quarter of the continent are Africans, practically. What they're doing is they're lessening the amount of people that are in these nations, okay,
yes,
in the Middle East, so that they can restructure. Netanyahu and another Jew said that they personally, both of them, want to restructure the Middle East themselves. They're going to make all the decision.
That's right.
Where the borders are, if there are borders, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So what they want us to do, this is a little different of a war.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're not looking for
warfare.
Our military to come in our country and kill these people. They're looking for the citizens to go after these people.
Well, yeah,
thus, we can kill as many of both of them, just like in the war.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're looking for you to be a Chavez race traitor military, you know, and fight this war for them. Go kill these Muslims. For
and
them,
believe me,
while you think you're doing it to protect yourself.
Right. Yeah.
See, they could just do this with the military. They don't need to do this with a citizen. Where is the German military? Where is the Swedish military?
They've all been compromised.
Where is France's military?
Oh, the police force. They've all been the politicians, the university professors, the doctors and the lawyers. They've all been compromised by Jew lies. The psychological warfare that the Jew has employed upon the white race is just, David, I have to say, ingenious. I mean, it's incredible. It's amazing. It's working. They've successfully brainwashed almost an entire race, except for those of us in identity.
This is what happens when you have a spell on the people.
Yeah.
If you they knew to get the media. Okay, they knew to get Hollywood, knew to get certain papers, they got most of the papers, and they got the key ones. They had decided, they got a panel together and decided which media outlets they needed, and they just had the Federal Reserve, and they just printed the money up.
Yes.
Right? And they it didn't matter how much the so-called Gentile, if you want to use that term, which is bogus, the white man, let's call him the true white Israelite. No matter what he wanted for the paper, whether he wanted to sell it or not, they could come up with the money as much as they wanted. Well, you won't sell it for $10 million? How about $20 million? Well, that I can't resist.
Right.
Okay, give me $20 million. Yes. Any idiot that's going to give me $20 million for this paper, I'll take that, sure.
Yeah.
But
they wanted it
that bad. They knew the value of it, and they knew they could use it against the populace.
I want to ask this question of Tex Mars. If your universalist religion, your universalist version of Christianity is working so well, why are all these blacks who you've been trying to convert and all the other churches have been trying to convert, why are they killing people? Why are they killing white people in greater numbers than ever? If your version of Judeo-Christianity is working so well, why is there no peace in the land? Why is there no peace in the land? Why are white people being, why are white Christians being murdered by these savages? Mr. Tex Mars.
Well, I just answered that question.
Yeah, right? I don't think
However, he says these Muslims that come in here now, that we love them and that we need to try to convert them.
We need
to win them over to Christ.
Yeah, you convert them while
he just said this on a show.
While they're hacking you to pieces with their machetes. There couldn't be anything more stupid. But he's a flaming liberal.
Let him in his house and they'll kill him.
No, he's not.
He's a hypocrite.
He's a hypocrite too, just like the liberals.
You love into your home and see what happens to you.
He'll never do that. We know. But yet he'll preach the lie. He'll preach the lie that they can be converted or that we should even try. Right?
He's just another. Muslims buy books too, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They'll find him.
Right? Muslims hate the Jews, so maybe you'd like to buy the Holy Serpent, the book, The Holy Serpent, and find out about these Jews that I can show you all about these Jews that you've hated so long. You know, the Yehudi or the Yehudim.
Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, Mr. Mars.
He is gone. So, I mean, I Pastor Steve couldn't even listen to his. I sent one of the latest ones in. I listened to him from here and there just to check and see if he's changed or he's listening to us and he might have changed his opinion. No, he's even getting worse and worse. Yeah. He was talking about how Winston Churchill wrote the article, even though Winston Churchill's a Jew, that both the Christ came from the Jews and the Antichrist will come from the Jews. You see, he was purporting that same thing. In other words, we're waiting for some man.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't read the Bible. He claims he knows the Bible. He claims he studies it every day. Has he ever read John, 1 John chapter 2? Has he ever read that? I don't think so.
I don't know. He says he studies for 16 hours a day, and he's been doing that for many, many years. And that's the equation doesn't add up. But here's what he said in the beginning of the show, that the Jews are such a wonderful people that they brought, and such a holy people that they brought.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Jesus Christ, the Jew.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. But this is, he's not the only one. It's all the Judeo ministers, the Catholic Church, Protestant, all of them are teaching the same garbage. It's all lies. Wake up, white people.
Do you know that he cries almost every single show now? Now, he didn't do this years ago. I'm serious. If you listen to his shows, he'll break out crying.
Yeah.
And one of the shows I just yelled, I said, "Are you kidding me?" And all of a sudden he's talking without crying. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like one of these children, like you say, you know, you can't have that lollipop. And they cry and cry and cry. And you hit him the lollipop and the crying's all done with.
Right, right. They turn it on and off, right?
It's just ridiculous. And he thinks that Yahweh is going to respond to these tears that he's crying while he's ministering about the Jews being a wonderful, holy people that bring forth this Jewish Jesus.
Right. Yes.
It's just beyond the imagination. And I can understand if you don't know the truth, how you can be fooled by this so easily. Because there it is again. The devil is using emotions.
Yes.
This would be like Tex being one of the disciples and saying, we won't let them kill you, Jesus. Right. We definitely get thee behind me, Satan.
Right, right. Well,
get out of here.
Tex Jimmy Swaggart Mars, right? Jimmy Swaggart is so famous for crying on camera. Right?
Well, here's another thing about the show. He said in the beginning of the show, he talks about how he told this youngster that you have to offend people sometimes and hurt their feelings, right?
Oh, really?
So he told this young boy that rock and roll was evil.
Mm.
And the boy ran out of the church and slammed the door. And his parents said, "Oh, we're sorry about that." And he said, "Don't worry. Sometimes this is a good thing. It's the beginning of him coming out of this," right? So what does he do later on the show? He plays a show from. He plays a song from what's the guy's name that's that touched the little 13-year-old girls. He's Jimmy Swaggart's.
Oh, his cousin, yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Right.
So he plays one of Jerry Lee Lewis's songs. Jerry Lee Lewis is a member of the Temple of Set with Mr. Aquinas, okay?
Right.
He's also, you know, with little 13-year-old girls.
Right.
And he's one of the major people that brought forth rock and roll that is so evil.
Right.
You talk about hypocrisy.
Yeah. See, but he loves Jimmy Swaggart, PC, because he's imitating him now, right? And he's imitating Jerry Lee Lewis.
This guy is such a hypocrite. Every episode.
He's a total, Tex Mars, you are a total hypocrite.
There's no doubt about it. And he's not, you know, I don't want to attack the brethren, and I'm against that, but he's not acting
he's
like a brethren,
obvious.
And he is teaching,
really way out of the world stuff. Let me put it this way. Tex Mars, when Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to have to answer to him for your hypocrisy and for teaching lies in the name of him and the Bible. All right?
And you won't use his name either. And you knew that he told you he wanted his name used.
Yeah.
He told you, like, in other words, when you're teaching, if you're a preacher and you're wearing a hat, and you're, I'm not saying he does that, but if you're a preacher like the Catholic Church or like the Jews and you're wearing a hat and while you pray and you're teaching people to pray and you're not using the name of Yahweh, you're not teaching them to pray in the proper name, you're actually teaching the people wrong things that you're going to pay for.
That's right.
You got to be very careful what you teach people.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful, and you got to ask Yahweh to protect you from harming the sheep with any doctrine or harming the sheep in any way or form.
If you're
scattering the sheep, you're going to pay dearly.
We're telling you this for your own good, because the Bible says that the followers of these false preachers are going to hunt them down and tear them to pieces. Okay.
Well, he's getting old now, so
he's not going to be able to defend himself.
You know, Yahweh gave him a little message, I think, but he's not going to. He doesn't seem like he's going to respond.
No.
He's just gone into this crying thing, and he figures that as long as he's teaching in the name of Jesus and saying this and that, and he loves everybody on the whole planet, and he cries these tears, that Yahweh is going to respond to that. Well, when you go before Yahweh. Yes. The Jew will be crying tears before him.
Oh, man.
But Yahweh's not going to respond to that.
No, he's not.
See, again, we deal in the facts. Yahweh deals in the facts, not the feelings.
Yes.
In other words, you can cry, you can beg, you can do whatever you want.
Yes.
But it's not. He's not going to respond to that.
Yeah. I'm going to have to ask Pastor Greg, when he was in divinity school, whether there was a course on crying crocodile tears. to influence your audience, right? This is theater, folks. Modern Christianity has become nothing but theater. Absolute theater.
But what is an actor but a slave?
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's what's funny is everybody, the Jews also have people, you know, like myself even, wanting to be a musician, wanting to be an actor, let's say. You know, I didn't want to be an actor, but, you know, when you look up the word actor, let's look it up, and I believe it means slave, if you find it in the right dictionary.
Yeah.
When you're talking about newspeak, you're also talking about the dictionaries are being watered down. So when you really want to find the definition of something, you have to look in the older dictionaries. But like, for instance, actor, this might say here, a person whose profession is acting on the stage in movies and on television. See, it doesn't say anything to do about that kind of thing. You have to find it. I challenge you people to go look for a definition. How about the English Oxford? Because I've looked it up before. It means slave.
Or look it up
and
in
it
the
means
Greek
many
or,
bad,
or,
really bad things. It means
look
hypocrite,
it up in the,
too.
Yeah, look it up in the Greek or in the Latin. Yeah, where you get the original meanings. Yeah, hypocrite, liar. Yeah.
Yeah, see, now no matter where you seem to go, it's the same watered down. See, it's like the Talmud being watered down, all these definitions now. You know what I mean?
Amen.
It's not now down to just a person who wants to act on a stage. Yeah, well, sorry, that's not the
real
meaning. It really does mean slave. You yes. are a slave to whomever you're acting for. It was just said that I was just reading something that talked about how the Jews in a country would use plays to, sure. you know, to act like the people. Egypt. Did you read that yourself?
Yeah.
About how they would do plays and act like the leader of the country that they were in were right. like the Egyptian pharaoh? It was one of the articles you just gave me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right. No, well, I don't recall that, but yeah, that's what the Jews do. They use play acting, they use theater, they use Hollywood, fiction, nonfiction. Usually, what their nonfiction is actually fiction, right? to brainwash the people. That's what they're best at. That's the only thing they're good at. Is brainwashing.
Well,
and
because
subversion.
That's what they do worldwide. They play different people. They play different acts.
That's right.
If they're in Texas, they play cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And you
that's
don't
right.
know that they're Jews because, like I said, back to around to the first of the show, you're not supposed to pay attention to somebody's color, somebody's race,
right.
somebody's creed. See, that's how you yeah. hide. It's an right. eminence front. It's a put on.
Right.
And when you're hiding.
They brainwash these libtards to believe there's no difference between the sexes. There's no difference among the races. There's no difference. There was no difference between right and wrong. Right?
yeah, right.
That's what they're teaching.
Exactly.
And well, then anything goes. Then anything goes. Okay?
And where does that come from? Do what thou wilt shall
go.
Be the whole of the law.
Amen. Yeah. 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 Who is that? Aleister Crowley.
yes.
Right?
Well, that's the devil's law. You know, that is.
Of course it
in
is.
Other words, Yahweh gave you 10 commandments, but the devil, yeah. he's much more liberal with you. Hey, don't worry about following any commandments. Do what you will. Do
that's
your
right.
own thing is how they translated it in the 70s yeah. with the hippies movement. Do your own
yeah.
thing.
Which is
don't
what
do what
all
Yahweh
these
told
other,
you to do. Do
yeah.
your own thing.
Which is all these other races do in spite of hundreds of years of trying to convert them to Christianity. Mr. Mars, it's an absolute failure. Admit it.
They don't have the same frequency as us, is yeah. what Wesley Swift was saying. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's
yeah.
not that they
oh,
maybe wouldn't have wanted to do
You're
it. They don't have the compass
wavelength.
In their heart like we do. They
right.
don't have the law within them like
That's
Yahweh
right.
put it
they
within
don't.
Us.
They're clueless about the law.
They are clouds without water. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, foam on the top of the sea.
Yeah,
they
right.
are people that just
Skull
go
on the top
any
of
way
the, pond,
the wind blows.
Right?
Nothing really matters
yes.
to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and this is a type of this is why the entertainment industry is so. Remember the protocols of the Elders of Zion said we shall unleash the nihilists.
Yeah,
that's
that was Pike that said that. That's exactly yeah, what he said. They've already unleashed all of them.
The band Queen
us.
Is a nihilistic. The band Queen is a nihilistic group. They're there to create nihilism. Nothing really matters.
Yeah, well, anywhere the wind blows, nothing really matters to me. In other words,
right?
You know, if you're on a sea, you're in a boat in a sea, and wherever the current takes you, that's
yeah.
where you go.
And you can't, and you're
words,
powerless.
Don't ever fight the current.
Victimization.
That's the training.
Yes. And all education and entertainment today is designed to, with that nihilism in mind, to make us seem powerless so that we can't resist the force of determinism, which is nothing but a Jewish conspiracy against the white race. Okay? Let's go back here now.
Well, how many times do you hear a song like that and
you're
enjoying it and you're partying and you're not paying attention that is being programmed into your mind
to be somebody that
does not go against the current? In other words, the message is, as long as you don't go against the current, everything's going to be fine. It doesn't matter where you end up.
Yeah.
We all end up at the same place.
Madonna,
yeah, we're
Lady
all,
Gaga,
you know,
Britney Spears,
but the thing
is all of them.
When you jump out of that boat and you start to swim against the current, all of a sudden, the way we swim against the current verbally,
yeah.
then you feel the resistance, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
That's what he doesn't want to feel. He loves his feelings, and it feels good to just lay back and float downstream.
Right.
If you're fighting against the current, you're feeling
drop
resistance.
Some LSD
it's work.
And float.
It could be hard. It
yes.
can kill you.
Right. The only difference between these female rock and roll performers is they add a lot of sexuality into their lyrics, but it's still nihilism. Pure, unadulterated nihilism, materialism, hopelessness, that the only point for existence is physical sexual pleasure. That's nihilism. And that's what the media is feeding us.
Pleasure is a weapon. It's a weapon.
Oh, yeah, it's a weapon. Absolutely, it's a weapon. But let's continue here, because what we're trying to show here is that Tex Mars and all the rest of these Judeo-Christian nihilists are playing right into the devil's hands. The article starts, and again, this is F white people. It's not only wrong, but also dangerous to try to hide the criminal animal from displaying the content of its character. It was a paraphrase from the speech by Martin Luther King. The article says, there is no mistaking the motive. Brittany Herring and three other black Chicagoans live streamed the kidnapping and torture of a white kid with special needs precisely because he is white. As of yet, there is no evidence the victim is actually a Trump supporter, which they were screaming, you're a Trump supporter, you're white, okay? Though the blacks terrorizing him were screaming, F Donald Trump and F white people, as they sliced open his scalp, these two phrases are purely interchangeable to them. Donald Trump is synonymous with whiteness, and a hate crime such as this could have been perpetrated on anyone for no other reason than they are white. It happens all the time, the author says, but the question is, why doesn't the mass media actually report on the massive black-on-white crime? And then why were they forced to report this one?
Well, it could be one of two things. This could be a fake news story. I don't think so. But what's happening with the media is they're so desperate at this point that their rates are dropping, that sooner or later they're going to have to see, the people are keyed in now to the fact that when they hear that a bunch of teenagers ran into the Walmart and destroyed the whole place
Reed
and kicked
blacks.
Everything, they know
blacks.
What that means now. Mm-hmm. It can no longer be covered.
They're not
with,
fooling us
okay.
anymore.
See, because here's the key to the thing. If those were white teenagers, you would be darn sure that it would say a group of white teenagers.
Yeah, right. Well, the very next sentence here, by contrast, if four white Trump supporters had kidnapped and tortured a special needs black kid, blacks would have been given a blank check to burn down, maybe a black check is a better word, to burn down major cities across America from the president and local authorities with a 24-hour overture from the media telling us all why we deserved it. Right.
Well, again, the devil has his purpose for it, but Yahweh has his purpose for it. My question is, why do we need these people in our nation?
Yeah,
what are they doing for
here.
Us? See, they're not happy here, as I've said over and over, because they're not where Yahweh put them. And that goes for women, our women. They're not happy being part of a corporation or being a star or any of these things like they thought they would be happy. They would only be truly happy when they were producing children and bringing up the next generation to be healthy, holy, and respectable.
Being helpless.
Now, you see, our people begin to say to themselves, geez, this multiculturalism isn't working. This is Yahweh's purpose, okay?
Right.
You know, why do we need these people here? I mean, I know I've been defending them my whole life, they say to themselves. And I know that, you know, I wanted to help them and elevate them because the Jew told me that was what we should do.
Right.
But they're not being elevated. And why do we really need them here? What have they done for the nation but suck it dry like leeches?
That's right. Blacks, Jews,
they're not
and other
doing
races.
Any positive. There's nothing positive. Yeah. We don't need them in our corporations.
No,
we don't need a brain surgeon like Ben
disease.
Carson,
yes.
who leaves a trail of wounded patients and leaves a sponge in this patient's brain and then says he's quitting while he's on top.
Right.
We don't need that. We don't. Yeah. Africa can use him.
Exactly.
We don't need these people here. It's plain and simple. What are they doing for us? Where is the positive?
Yeah.
We don't need them to play football.
There's no medical insurance.
Football was great when it was a white game.
There's no medical insurance in Africa, so you won't have to pay premiums, right? Yeah, the white man has created Western civilization. Only the white race has ever created a representative government. No other race has ever even conceived of the idea. And when they try to imitate it, it fails, okay? So the idea that all races are equal and that we have an obligation to convert them to our religion, Tex-Mars, please stop lying to the world. You're simply lying to the world to sell your old books, which preach this lie. And you're afraid to turn to the truth because you're afraid to lose book sales.
You know what he doesn't realize? You know, I'm a musician, and I'm sure that he wouldn't like the fact that I put out some rock music, right? And he would criticize me and tell me how I am of the devil. But yet his works are going to burn up. He thinks, like, remember that, you know, like, if these works aren't good, they burn up in the fire. So perhaps all my albums will burn up in the fire, Tex. But your books that you're protecting and you think are going to outlive you and move into the future are going to burn up when Yahweh judges you, when he judges your works.
Right.
Because these works, you've ruined these works.
Right.
By teaching the wrong things that you're teaching. I don't care how good the book is or how accurate it is. You've taught that the Jews, Yahweh's enemy, could be saved when he has no intention on saving them whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
None.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not one of them. Not a branch, not a twig, none, zero.
Right.
Because you see, what you're not realizing, Tex, is when you have these Jews, what he taught us, and when you have them in your nation, this is what happens to your nation. If he had them in the kingdom, what do you think would happen to the kingdom?
They're not in the kingdom.
That's why he can't have them there. He can't have it.
That's right. They're not going to be in it. They're going to be bundled and burned. Yeah. Doesn't he even know Matthew chapter 13? He claims he studies the Bible. He doesn't understand Matthew chapter 13. He doesn't understand Obadiah. He doesn't know what the word Edom means. How can this guy claim to be a Bible expert and not know any of these things?
Because he's really not a Bible expert.
No, he isn't.
He's more, he knows some about the Bible, but really, when it comes down to it, he is somebody that's studying anything but the Bible. It's like he spent too much time on studying evil and not enough time studying the Father's Word.
Yeah, it's like
okay, now we are supposed to look at our enemy, and we are supposed to check out these evil things and see how the enemy operates, et cetera, et cetera. But there's got to be balance in your life. In other words, you can't just negate the word and pretend you know it pretty good and that's good enough, and then just study evil continually for 16 hours a day.
Right.
What you need to do is you need to put Yahweh first. You should have studied that. And, you know, then you would understand, you know, the evil things better.
It's just like the old saying about doctors. They study disease, but they don't know anything about health, right? It's just teaching.
Yeah, well, they're not there to make you well.
They are.
They're there. The medical system is there to treat you.
Right?
And this is what that movie.
And prolong your illness.
The Eternal Jew
right?
You know, the Eternal Jew? It says in there that the Jews just wanted to treat them perpetually.
That's right.
In the medical. In the medical thing.
That's the most profitable.
And it's the same thing here. They don't want, it's almost illegal for them to heal you.
That's great.
They're not there to heal you.
Yeah, we're all familiar with the expression perpetual war for perpetual peace. Now we're from the MDs, perpetual disease for perpetual profit, right? That's what medicine is all about, folks. That's what medicine is all about. All right, so here, I just want to mention one more thing on this story because I do want to move on to the Occidental Observer. And because we want to address the blindness of the white nationalists and the so-called white rights movement, which is part of the alt-right, but they still have a tremendous blind spot on the Bible. The reason why mass media could not ignore this story was because it was being broadcast live by the perpetrators on Facebook as it was happening. Everybody in the world knew about it already. So they couldn't bury the story. They had to deal with it, folks. This proves that social media is going to destroy the Jewish stranglehold on mass media. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. It's happening,
praise him,
folks.
For everything.
It's
praise
happening.
Him every day.
Right. Okay. Let me send you the link here to the Occidental Observer.
I have it right here.
Oh, you have it. And
yes,
because
sir.
This needs to be thoroughly analyzed, and no insult to Kevin MacDonald or the author here, Andrew Joyce, PhD. But the fact of the matter is, you have believed Jewish lies about the Old Testament, about the Bible, and you need to understand that you are still victims of Jewish deceit. You will not understand the Bible until you realize that the Jews are not Israelites, and that is the world's greatest masquerade. Okay? So the
May I read the first quote here?
Go ahead.
Okay, because there's a key word in this quote from Josephus. See, Flavius Josephus is not a Jew, as far as I understand.
No,
although I
Judah.
Wonder, when they show the picture of him on the book, don't they show this big hook-nosed guy?
Well, the picture I have in my print copy, he has a long, straight nose. He's not a hook-nosed guy at all. That
okay,
must be,
I've seen
that
copies
might be a
where
fake,
you see a big hook-nosed Jew.
That might be a fake picture, just to throw
Maybe.
You off. Okay,
but he's an Israelite. He's not a Jew. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. He's a Judite. In his own autobiography, he states that on the one side of his family, he's of royal blood. On the other side of the family, he's of priestly blood. Only a Judite could say that.
Okay. Well, see, this is where, ladies and gentlemen, listen. The where you're being confused the most is the difference between Jew and Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
An Israelite cannot be he can act like a Jew, and he's not a Jew.
A lot of us
unless
do.
His race mixes with him. But a
right?
Jew cannot be an Israelite. A Jew was never part of Israel. And just like these Jews today are not really part of America at all.
That's
Notice
right.
how they're dual citizens.
Exactly.
And what that means is you have to know that the words of Yeshua are true when he says you can't serve two masters. You'll
right.
love one and hate the other. Now, this is true of the Jews that are dual citizens all over the world.
Right.
You see, they prefer Israel, but it's
okay.
not Israel as you know it. It's a trickery. The word Israel was used as trickery
now, okay.
to identify them as
yeah.
us.
That term,
and, but
dual
what I'm
citizen.
Saying is that
yeah.
you can't be a dual citizen. You can't love America and Israel.
Okay.
Notice how Donald Trump, I was very proud of him, that he okay. only has the American flag on his lapel, unlike the rest of the cowardly
the Israeli
freaks
flag.
that have to have both nations
right.
on there.
And they wear
and
yarmulkes.
Israel comes first, see,
right, exactly.
with all these politics.
It's very interesting, dual citizenship today, because what was it that these Jews said before they executed our Messiah? They said, we have no king but Caesar.
That tells
dual
you
citizens.
The story. You can't have, and they when they said he was the king of the Jews, he said, you say that.
Yes,
in
right.
other words, he's not king of any Jews, he's king of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the King of Israel is who he is. But here we go. So you can't be a dual citizen. It's either you love America and you came to America and you're true to America, or you're true to Israel. You can't be true to both.
You can't be true to both. Even Yahshua even says it. You can't have two masters. You will either hate
That's
the one
right.
or love the other, or you'll just you don't get totally confused, right? So this is
All
where
right.
people are at. But let's go ahead with the quote here. Okay,
here's the key to the whole. The quote is there's a word right in the quote that tells you that the Jews have been doing this for a long time, and I've told you about this
mm-hmm.
under the pretext of recording fables. Fables of the
mm-hmm.
Jews,
mm-hmm.
the fables, the tales of the Jews. This is what Titus told Paul, told Timothy. This is what he told, Paul told Titus. He said, beware of the fables of the Jews and
yes.
men who turn from the truth.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the quote before the article, and then I'll turn it over to you. Okay. Under the pretext of recording fables and current reports about the Jews, he, Manetho, took the liberty of introducing some incredible tales.
Right.
Wishing to represent us as condemned to banishment from Egypt. But see, here they've got it wrong. They're thinking Flavius Josephus is a Jew.
No, he's not. He's a Judahite and an Israelite. Okay. So Manetho, being an Egyptian, obviously had no love for the Judahites or the Israelites. So he would tell tales about the Israelites, okay? And there were no Jews in Egypt. You see? There were no Jews in Egypt because even as you see in the Bible in the Old Testament, wherever you see the word Jew in the Old Testament, it's derived from the word Judah, which was a racially exclusive tribe.
Could I ask you this about that, though?
Yeah.
Who then would you think? See, I would contradict you there, even though I think you know the Bible better than I do. Why I say that is because when they left there, they had a mixed multitude hanging on behind them.
Right. Right.
And
I believe
that
mixed multitude. Right. And that was a mistake.
Is the one that caused the problems and said, hey, look, Moses is out of here. Well, let's build a golden calf to lead us.
Right. That's a very good point. And they were the ones, it was the mixed multitude that were the ones that caused all the ruckus and wanted to build that golden calf.
That's what I just said, yes.
Right. So those people, but how do you treat... Okay, say there's 2 million Israelites leaving, and then there's all these people who want to tag along, and you're just trying, you're basically escaping for your lives. What are you going to do about those? You're going to turn around and kill them while you're trying to escape? No.
No, but it's a wonder Yahweh didn't crush them with the sea like he crushed the Egyptian army.
It's
a wonder
curse.
That they must have stood too close to Israel for Yahweh to, in other words, just like, should we kill the tares?
Right.
Well,
but
no, because you'll kill some of the Israelites with them.
But here's the point I'm getting at, David. Just like today, everybody in the world wants to be an American. Nobody wants
to
be a
really.
Jew.
They want to say they're American. They want to live here and suck off the teat of America.
Right.
But they don't really want to assimilate these dogs.
No. But there was a time when everybody wanted to enjoy American citizenship, whether they were white or black or any other color, because of the, as you say, because of the prosperity of the white man. Okay. Nobody
wants
to be a Jew.
Did you see that article with the woman with the toilet wiping her butthole with the American flag? She says, this is what we think of your country, this negress.
Yeah.
In that article you just had. That's what I'm trying to say. They don't love our country.
No, they don't.
Anymore. That's why there's another case for what are we letting them stay here for? Let them go back where they belong.
They cannot assimilate. They hate us and Tex-Mars. They will not convert even to your version of Christianity.
She's showing herself with her middle finger up and she's wiping her butt with the American flag. And she says, this is what we think of your country.
Right. Yeah. In spite of all efforts, but the white race has been bending over backwards, trying to be nice to these people to show that we don't hate them, that we're trying to integrate, but it just isn't working. Because whenever, and this is true of all non-white ethnicities, you have one or two. You say you have one or two blacks move into a white neighborhood, no problem, except maybe when their friends come over and they leave trash in the yard and on the street and a burglary happens down the street as they're going home, right? But then when five or six black families move in, once it's that many, then the neighborhood goes down the toilet, right? Because the mob mentality of the black race takes over, and they simply cannot help themselves but be mobsters.
They are what they are. In other words, you can't change. The Jew is what it is. Remember what I said, what B.F. Jackson said, is that they are born, or Peter said this, they are born from the womb, spiritually dead, born from the womb. Yeah,
right.
And all their whole thing is how to corrupt. They can't help that that's the way they are. That's what they're designed to be. Well, they're on a different frequency than we are because we are a certain – we have a light from Yahweh within our blood, within our personages or – you know, I hate the word person because we're men and women and we need to keep changing that back. But what I mean is these blacks are prone to do the things they do. You saw this in Katrina that – even the police officers who were supposedly tamed Negroes were stealing TVs and jeans and everything.
Yeah, right.
They don't have the moral fiber that we have. I'm not saying that every man or woman in the white race is morally bankrupt. Sure. There's plenty of people that are screwed up.
Yeah,
however, what I'm saying is they don't have the compass within them. So anyway, I'll let you get back to this thing. I just wanted to hit you with that because the mixed multitude was the ones that were complaining. Who complains today in our country?
Yeah,
who do you hear the complaining from? The Jew and the Negro are the two most complaining people. I'm not saying Negroes were with the mixed multitude, but certainly I would say that they caused problems for the tribes.
I'm sure
and they complained.
There were Canaanites and Egyptians in that multitude for sure, okay? All right, but the point I wanted to make about this quote against Appian is that Flavius Josephus is by no means a Jew. He is a Judahite, and the word Jew has been falsely translated from the word Yahudi, meaning Judahite. It does not mean Jew because the Jews are a race-mixed Mongol people. The Judahites were a pure race, unmixed people, one of the tribes of Israel. There's a huge difference between those two groups. And absolutely huge. And the Jews today are still a race-mixed, mongrelized people who have no relationship whatsoever to the tribe of Judah or to any other tribe of Israel. Once Andrew
Correct.
Joyce and Kevin McDonald realize this, then they will begin to understand history. As of now,
he doesn't know the father's voice, obviously.
Obviously. All right, so
you see, this is why this is the brainwash. This is why the devil's children, the devil and his children, have used Hollywood, have used their media have used TBN to taint like the Catholic Church, diddling little boys, et cetera, et cetera. They've used all that to destroy true Christianity, the image of Christianity, what Christianity really is, to the point where it's irrespectable. You can't respect any religion. You can't respect Christianity in its current state. It's not the real Christianity, though.
Well,
that's what the problem is.
Well,
you don't realize that that is not Christianity. It is a perversion, a corruption of the true Christianity that you're viewing on television, that you're viewing in the media, that you're viewing in Hollywood. That's the key to the whole thing
Wasn't that the third
That's why part, Mr. McDonald doesn't know it.
The third part of Albert Pike's vision was to not only just pit Christianity against Islam, but also against nihilism. Okay,
and the atheists as well.
And the atheists, that's
exactly. They would release the atheists and the nihilists.
Right,
yes.
The atheists and that's what's happening. The libtards.
Yep.
The libtards are on the side of the Muslims. Can you believe it?
Are these atheists?
Can you believe it, David?
Let me point out something to you, Eli. Listen to this for a second, right? When you see the media, when you see the Daily Stormer, which I like, okay? Did you notice how Pepe is a frog? Well, what does a frog represent in the Bible?
Yeah, unclean animal.
well, the frog. What comes out of the beast's mouth? Three frogs, right?
Right, exactly.
See, frog. Like the frog is one of the lowest creatures on the planet,
right.
And so they used a frog, and it says something about them. I'm not trying to be against them. I'm just trying to tell you that you see, they are the atheists.
Right.
And they hate Christianity just as much as the Jews do. As a matter of fact, they hate the Jews and they hate us Christians as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they become, even though they're working to help the white race, they have shown themselves, they think of themselves as frogs, which tells you a story.
Right.
You think about what I'm saying. Is that not true?
Sure.
Out of the beast mouth comes frogs.
Exactly.
Out of demons come frogs.
Yeah. Anybody who believes the Jews are Israel and therefore condemns Christianity, falsely believing it's an offshoot of Judaism, is totally deceived and manipulated by the Jews, probably even more worse off than a Judeo-Christian because they have rejected Jesus Christ, falsely thinking that he's a Jew. At least the Judeo-Christians believe in
Christ.
Yeah, which makes them Antichrist, exactly. They're just as bad off as Judeo-Christians. Because they think they're smarter.
The Antichrist, right? The frog is Antichrist.
That's right.
They're revealing that they know that they are the Antichrist. They don't even know that they're revealing that. They would have never picked a frog.
Right, right. So
no, I'm serious. I think about this all the time.
I agree. This is why we picked this topic, to educate white nationalists and all pro-white you know, website leaders and designers, what have you, that you must understand that the Jews are not Israelites, they're not white, and the true, and here, at the very top, Occidental Observer, white identity. You must understand that Israelite identity and white identity are the same. They're the same. The Adamic race, the Bible says, the Adam, to show blood in the face, Mr. Joyce and Mr. McDonald.
Or ruddy.
Yes, to blush.
But you know one thing, one more thing about the point, because I just thought of it. Notice how they say they're Nazi trolls. See, and they're using the frog, and they'll dress the German soldier up as a frog. Okay. See, this is also implying that the Germans are truly evil.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You understand the subliminal thing going on there?
All symbols are extremely important, okay? The basic premise that we're stating here is that these anti-Jewish whites who are outside of identity are clueless as to the identity of the Jewish people, falsely believing they're Israel and or Judah, falsely believing that Jesus was a Jew, falsely believing that the Bible is a Jewish book, and there's a whole list that follows after that of horrible mistakes they make with those three false beliefs guiding them.
Yes, and because they have not the Father and the Holy Spirit to protect them, they are subject to things like Black Sun 666 and gods and pagan rituals and being pagans. They're proud to be pagan. They're proud to be against Yahweh. They claim that he is the devil, claim that he is a Jew. I just told you, if you claim that Yahweh is a Jew, you're offending him. If you claim Jesus is a Jew, that's Yahweh anyway. Mm-hmm. You're offending him.
That's right.
If you do not believe in that he came to die for our sins, and you do not, you are an antichrist. I don't care how much good you think you're doing. You're doing some good. I'm not saying that you're not doing any good, but you're being trapped while you're in your pursuit.
You're not going to accomplish your ultimate goal, which is to defeat the Jews, if you don't know who they really are. If you think that they're God's chosen people, then you've misidentified them, and you're fighting against Yahweh, not against the Jews. That's what they don't understand.
And you're divided.
Yes.
You're being divided again. This is the key to all things. I've figured out now that the key to all things is division with these people. In other words, instead of you people that are Aryans, joining up with us so that we all fight the enemy no matter what, you stay separate from us. You stay divided. You hate us, even though we believe that the same enemy is the enemy. But you want to stay divided. You want your gods. Okay.
Well,
you're letting these devils and these Jews tell you that. Who do you think's writing these pagan things? Black Sun 666.
Right.
It's Jews.
Sure, of course,
they're telling you Himmler was a great Satanist, and that Hitler and Himmler wanted to destroy Christianity and bring back the old gods and all this stuff. You're being suckered, because you do not have the protection of the Holy Spirit, you are susceptible to these things, and you don't know that you're susceptible to them.
Yeah.
You need the protection of Yahweh. And I know
suckered,
you don't think so, but you do.
Bamboozled, tricked, every adjective in the book as to being deceived. They think that the Bible is a Jewish book. They're totally convinced that it is. And as long as that's the case, then Christianity is an offshoot of the Jewish Bible, and therefore not worthy of our consideration. But we have proven a million times in Christian Identity that that's not true. That the white race is, especially the Caucasian people, are the direct descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. We've proven it a million times, if we've proven it once. And they think they're so proud, they think they know it all, and refuse to look at our evidence. Well, the same thing applies to them as applies to the Judeo-Christian in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, if you do not have love for the truth, you will be destroyed.
But they think they have love for the truth, but it's not the whole truth. The key is what the irony of the whole thing is they are very racial, right?
Right.
They're for the white race. But what these people don't understand is that the Bible, the whole thing, is the story of the race of Adam. the white race. That's mm-hmm. what the Bible really is. It's not a religious book like you suppose, right. like you've been taught your whole life. It is about the book of the race of Adam. It's about the race of Adam,
it's
the
a
white
survival
people.
Book.
The,
right.
the It's Israelite literature. It's not Jewish literature.
That's
you
right.
have been fooled and you've been tricked. See the irony what I'm saying? These are white people who the Jews are trying to call white supremacists. They're for all for the white race, but they don't even know that the Bible is a book about the race of Adam. It's about the white race.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Well, here, let's go into the first paragraph here, because we can see the delusional character of the author in virtually every word he writes. I've been intrigued by the story of the Israelite exodus from Egypt for more than a decade. More than any of its close rivals, including the tale of Haman in the book of Esther, the Exodus looms large as an early and extremely influential psychological landmark in the lachrymose, meaning causing tears or drawing out one's emotions, and highly dubious pseudo-history of the Jewish people. Now, what he's saying here is that the story of the Exodus and the move of the Israelite people from Egypt is false.
See, notice it said Israelite exodus. It yeah. didn't say Israeli
right.
exodus.
Yeah.
That's the key, ladies and gentlemen, that the idiot Jews that are trying to pretend they're us have forgotten that they don't even know that we're called Israelites, not Israelis.
Yes. Yes. And the fact is that the Bible is not a lachrymose book. The Bible, more than any other book, condemns the Israelites for their sins over and over and over again. It's not a tearjerker in the sense that it's trying to win you over, you know, by telling sob stories. On the contrary, it's constantly referring to our ancestors' disobedience to Yahweh and the consequent punishment due us for this disobedience. So what they do at the very beginning, Israelite Exodus, is equated with the Jewish people. There's the mistake. There's the first big mistake that the author made.
Israelite and Jew. What did I say?
Mm-hmm.
This is where the problem is. They don't know the difference between a Jew and an
right.
Israelite.
Now, it's true to say that the Jewish people have created a pseudo-history, all right? But the pseudo-history
no
is that they're pretending to be Israel. Mr. Joyce, that's the pseudo-history. So he's so close, but yet he's so far that he can't see the truth. He can't see the Jew for the Israelites, right? He continues, most obviously the putative liberation or the pretended liberation or averred liberation.
Supposed.
From Egypt, supposed liberation from Egypt is commemorated by Judaism every year. Well, the fact is the Israelites were liberated, but not the Jews. Okay, this is what he does not understand. In the form of Pesach, a Passover festival. Indeed, the Jewish version of Passover is a phony ritual because it was only until the days of Herod when the Edomites began assuming the identity of the Israelites in Judea that they started practicing Passover.
But what is the problem with this right away? These are supposed to be educated men. Mm-hmm. He just said by Judaism. He said most obviously the putative liberation from Egypt is commemorated by Judaism. Well, if you looked into Judaism and you were such an intelligent man, you would know that Judaism is the tradition of men. It is not a holy book whatsoever. It is something
Talmud.
That would make you sick if you read it.
It's
it has
Talmud.
Nothing to do with religion. It has to do it. You know, I keep trying to say this, and you know this
right.
as well, that this Judaism, this communism, Judaism is communism, and this is a racket of racketeers.
That's right.
It is a criminal organization that is in the guise of a religion. Why don't you intelligent men understand this? Why, it's very obvious that this is a racketeering thing worldwide. They sell human organs.
Which violates every law of Yahweh.
Holocaust nonsense, collecting monies, reparations, and everything else. It's a criminal organization. It is a mafia. And they dress up just in the religious garb to play the game. It's another actor. It's another act. And the Jews are known for their hypocrisy. Yeah. How can you people that are supposed to be, they tell me how intelligent these men are. Well, how intelligent you can you be if you don't know that Judaism is not holy at all?
To summarize what you just said, if you know the Jews are liars, why do you accept their proposition that they are Israel? Why do you believe that lie?
Because it was supposed. It was punitive. Before they were born.
It's putative. The Jewish claim that they are Israel is putative. It's not real. And that's what these white nationalists don't get and what they refuse to accept. Even though we're shouting it from the rooftops as loud as we can and as often as we can. Hey, listen, the Jews are not Israel and Judaism is not Mosaicism.
Judaism is communism and communism.
Yes, they should know this.
But the thing is that the world does think that Judaism is a holy religion and that the Talmud is, they think it's one book when it's a set of books, and they think that those are holy books. They have no idea. Even Tex Mars knows that those aren't holy books.
Right.
That is the most filthy. Right? I told you, Ursula Haverback, she had a copy of it, the real one. They have a watered-down version, and then they have a real version.
Right.
And when she read it, it literally made her sick.
Right.
Does that sound like a holy book?
No, it's not the Bible. The Talmud is not the Bible. The Talmud is anti-Bible, and that's Judaism. And these people should know this. I mean, there's enough information out there. All you have to do is look up Talmud. Put it in your browser, and especially if you read the works of Elizabeth Dilling, you will find out what Judaism really is. So these people who claim to be experts on Jewish history don't even mention the Talmud. That means they know nothing about Jewish history. Absolutely nothing about Jewish history.
And notice how they're much more famous than we ever will. I don't want to be famous, but you understand that.
Sure.
In other words, nobody knows about us, but they know about these people. And they believe that they're experts. So they're either being put up by the Jew.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Or they're just totally flummoxed.
This is all I can, like David Duke. I know he knows a lot of things and everything. But if you've been studying all this time and you don't know that the Talmud and you don't realize that the Jews are a criminal organization posing as a religion to gain. In other words, why would they pose as a religion? Well, of course, if you pose as a religion, you get everything tax-free, right?
Right.
If you pose as a religion, they had it so that they've made an arrangement with the Jewish airport organization so that they can just carry their suitcases right through without being searched.
Right. Right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many. In other words, they can have the high places in the in the synagogues, or they can have the high places anywhere they are because they are religious
men.
But
let's take
They're not
the tack.
Religious men.
Let's take the tack that this author here and Occidental Observer in general are just flummoxed by the Jews, and they simply don't understand the Bible and the fact that the Israelites were Aryans, not hook-nosed kikes. Okay, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. But the fact is, if they repeat these Jewish lies, they are doing the Jews a huge favor by saying things like the Bible is a Jewish book, Jesus was a Jew, and Judaism is the religion of the Old Testament. You might as well be a Jew yourself.
That's right. And so is Mr. Mars telling them that Jews can be saved. They love to hear that. They love that stuff.
Yes.
And we'll buy a few of your books, Mr. Mars. You just keep repeating that.
Right.
We'll put you on our Amazon.com as a number one seller because a Jew owns it anyway.
Right. Yeah,
we love your books, Mr. Mars.
We need to do like the Hollywood game shows and have an applause track.
I do that on my news show, but I mean, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Right. These men are supposed intelligent men, like scholars. You're supposed to have respect for Mr. McDonald and all these people. Yeah. I don't know. Something's just wrong with the picture.
Yeah, something's really wrong with this picture. For our last sentence here in this paragraph. Historian Paul Johnson remarks that the Exodus became an overwhelming memory. Nothing wrong with that statement. And, quote, gradually replaced the creation itself as a central determining event in Jewish history. Now, that is true of the Jews, right?
But the Bible is not Jewish history.
That's not Jewish history.
The Bible is not Jewish history.
It isn't. That's right. It's Israelite history, and the Jews are derived from Edom and the Canaanites, and the latest admixture is the Ashkenazim. 95% of modern Jewry today is Ashkenazim, having no relationship whatsoever to the Old Testament or to Palestine or to Israel. Okay? Is it possible that these guys can't know any of this?
Well, what's really crazy to me about the whole thing is that they know the white race is the race that is the primary race.
Sure.
Okay? But they can't see that the Jews can't run this world. They can't see that the Jews are a sub-race still. I don't care if you got them in, if you dress them up in suits and they smile everywhere they go. Everybody knows that.
Right.
They smile to win. They're not capable. They're not even in the same ballpark as the white race. Do you understand that all other races, I'm going to keep honing in on this. Look it up yourself. I even saw this in a 50s Chinese, I mean, 50s sci-fi movie where they said, bring the sub-race here. And it was a Chinaman. All of them, they're all have been known as sub-races, including the Jews. Yeah.
Including and until, the Jews.
You must realize that the white race has always been the primary race on this thing. Who did all the searching through Africa? Who did all the, who made these nations? I mean, Yahweh did this through us, but let's just say, who created the nations? Who created the Constitution? Who did all these wonderful things? Who made the airplane?
Who preserved the Bible?
Who made the television? Was it the Jew?
Who preserved the Bible?
No, the Jew didn't create anything.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. One more. We've got less than 3 minutes here. Exodus has a power that exists independently from the trappings of religious myth, acting through the centuries as a defining narrative of victimhood. No, it's not victimhood in the Bible. The main theme of Exodus is the lack of obedience of the Israelites to Yahweh. That's the main theme. Clearly the main theme.
Okay, group vindication and self-validation. Here's what I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Jews living under the Tsar produced endless Yiddish plays. Notice, not Hebrew plays.
Right.
Endless Yiddish plays. See, these people think that they speak Hebrew. They don't speak Hebrew. They speak Yiddish. That just shows you that they're not us in the first place.
Right.
But anyway, Jews living under the Tsar produced endless Yiddish plays and satires containing barely concealed allusions to the Tsar as the latest incarnation of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Exodus is a foundation upon which Jewish identity as well as Jewish religiosity is built.
And that's true. That's true. I mean, but that's only because the Jews are pretending to be Israel. But his implication here is that the Exodus never happened, that it's a Jewish fable. Didn't Paul say, beware of Jewish fables?
Yes, but to them, nothing happened. In other words, in the Bible, Adam and Eve is not real.
Right, exactly.
And to them, Moses is not real.
And there's and all kinds of
these people, they don't know that there's proof inside and outside the Bible, these people are real.
The archaeological evidence for the Exodus, for the Israelites being in Egypt and for the, conquering Canaan land is overwhelming, can't be refuted. Listen, you white nationalists, you have been flummoxed and deceived by the Jews. You're just as bad off as the Judeo-Christians in believing that the Jews are Israel. Bottom line, wake up. And
you're Antichrist.
Yeah, and you're Antichrist by perpetuating these Jewish myths. All right? Good job today, Pastor David.
You as well, my brother.
Pastor David. And folks, keep on listening to Eurofolk Radio because we are having an effect on the world. We're going to bring the Jewish Empire of the Sea down. Thank you very much.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. All right, folks, thanks for listening. See you next time.
Thank you.
riding after rattlesnakes, you gotta be tough. You gotta be rough. You gotta shoot straight. Be on the lookout. The James Gang is back in town, and they're meaner than ever. There's Brother Eli. He stomped down many a snake in his day, and he ain't done yet. His younger brother Dave, quicker than a horned toad, he can hunt down a snake's lie. Then there's Sister Jean. She can whip out a scripture faster than a Colt 45.